Hey everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Steve Adeboye and I've got my special guest. Would you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Hamid Ibrahim. I'm one of the co-founders of Kugali Media, which is an African storytelling company. I'm in charge of the CG side, so mostly augmented reality and animation if you're to do stuff like that, or games, if you're to get to that at some day.
Alright, look at you. All the jack of all trades, and you've managed to obviously dive into a lot of technology spaces within Kugali. How did you get involved? How did you learn these skills to start off with?
I got a long, long story. I started off as a normal artist, so just normal drawings. Then I moved to the UK, that's about 7 years ago now.
Okay.
When I came in, obviously I was trying to find a course to do. Now, in my head, I was thinking architecture. Mm-hmm. But when I got to the college, you know how they have the showroom.
Yeah.
So there are a few courses that then I saw game design.
Mm.
And the first thing that went to my head is like, hold up, you actually can teach game design. It never really occurred to me in my whole life that you could actually learn how to make games.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I'm going to ditch architecture, go to game design. And my mom freaked out.
So you did both at the same time? Or?
No. I did. I put architecture aside.
Yeah.
I thought with game design, I could design all the buildings I'd want to do.
Mm.
But I didn't have to wait years for them to get put up. I don't have to think about plumbing.
Exactly.
I don't have to think about how cool it looks. I don't have to care about gravity even sometimes.
Yeah.
So I was like, it just pulled me that direction. Then that's when I started with those skills. Then did uni modeling and 3D animation.
Mm.
Then I worked for a bit in VFX, so kind of that build up gave me the variety of skills I needed. Yeah.
Awesome. When you said your mom freaked out, you have to touch on it a little. You can tell you're African.
Yeah.
So when you tell your African mom like what's going on, what was her reaction to begin with? When
she was a bit concerned. She told me like, "Are you sure and all that?" She obviously was very supportive, right?
Yeah.
But you know when somebody's supportive, but you can tell they're like, ugh.
Yeah.
They're like, ugh.
Yeah. That's the way of saying they love you.
Exactly, right? You just see in her face, she's like, oh my God, he's probably going to be homeless.
Mm.
But she's like, okay, you know, I tried.
Yeah.
And funny enough is, at the end of uni, that's when she properly got freaked out. But it was almost because that thing of like, now uni is done.
Yeah.
She was like, dude, can you find a job? Because she doesn't believe there are any jobs in this field.
She
still doesn't understand what I do.
Exactly.
Right? She just be like, oh, you're one of people who do those things, right? Clumps everything into one category.
Mm.
So when I finished uni, I was freaked out as well. I'm not going to lie. Me and her were both freaked out. But right before I finished, I think I got a job offer. I didn't even apply for the job offer.
Oh, right.
And I remember I typed yes to that. Okay, I replied saying I'm willing to do the job.
Yeah.
Before I even read the whole document. thank God they were pretty nice. The pay was okay. And then the only thing that was not nice was the fact that the job was in London and I went to Hertfordshire University, right?
Oh, Hertfordshire, yeah.
So I was in Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
So I had to find out to get to London on Monday for 9 a.m.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, but from there, everything was on. But that's how the skills came.
Yeah. And, have you ever been, you know, when it comes to technology, have you always had a passion for it? Or was it just like, oh, I just love games, I love videos and how to sort of create that? What came first for you?
I've always loved to make things. Like, just in general. I remember as a kid, I remember the cards which used to make music when you open them up?
Yeah.
I'd get that, I'd remove the music bit, and then try and put it into a box. So when you open the box, the box is making the sound. So stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I always liked making things. That's like one of my big joys in life. Like, as long as I'm making something, I tend to be happy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it is. So it's like, just in general, even with the tech side, I only do the tech stuff in as far as that's what I need to make some stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can code, but only as much as I need to make some stuff.
Mm.
I can draw only to the level I need to make some stuff. So it's just, everything is just, that's the main one.
Yeah. So you have like this purpose of obviously building, making stuff, creating things. In a way, it's so visual, but yet so current. You know, like you say, with architecture, waiting for something to happen, you know, bit by bit, you just creating your own creations, you know, to life. It's nice to know that, you know. Nice. Because especially with the way technology's kind of moved, like, right now you can create anything. You can create most things on the internet. It's like a playground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have all this real estate and you can just build your company. You can build, you know, cartoons. You can build a movie production. You can build so many things. And it's just nice to know that, you know, you kind of jumped on that in the right time.
Pretty much. Good timing as well. I also did some gambles.
Okay, go and talk about that.
Because it's that thing of, I was thinking about, I was like, okay, seeing where the world is going, most things are getting tech heavy.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, gamble number one was, okay, there's a good chance, given how hard I was, okay, this is a big one, I still. Because when I came from Uganda to here, I was in a public school in Uganda.
Yeah.
Now, if most of you don't know about public schools in Uganda, you do learn, but it's pretty much a prison. And I'm actually, I could wager, I haven't been to a UK prison, but I would almost imagine that some days in the UK prison would probably be nicer than some days in the Ugandan school, probably, in the public school, right?
Yeah, probably, I don't
so
know.
So it's, yeah, now, that thing of, they used to wake us up at 5, I remember.
Yeah.
And the last lesson, okay, 5 o'clock, we'd be out of the dormitory at 6, right? And the last lesson was like 10 p.m.
What?
Exactly. You're supposed to be preps, which is like, you're yeah. supposed to be revising.
Yeah.
But teachers would hijack that to teach more lessons.
Wow.
So you have a break, okay, from normal lunches. Lunch is at, lunch ends at 2, so you're from 2 to like 4:30.
Yeah.
Then 4:30 to 6, you're doing your own stuff.
Yeah.
No, 4:30 to 7, you're doing your own stuff. Then from 7 to 10, they're supposed to be preps, supposed to be revising. What? But teachers would hijack that. So I'm used to having this time when I'm in class at 6:30 with the first lesson starting at 6:30,
yeah,
and ending at 10 or 10:30 sometimes.
That's insane.
And then I come here and they tell me the lesson starts at 9. I'm like, you're lying. No. I could not believe it. And then I could finish at 3. I was like, what? Why is this? So from that knowledge, I was like, okay, if these guys are used to this, I'm used to that. Yeah. If I bring that amount of work effort, right, like absolutely. Work ethic, and I bring it to this, and I manage to build the skills up in this, I am going to run circles around these people.
Absolutely.
Right? And it definitely worked, right? It was one of those people like, how do you do so much work? I'm like, mate, you don't understand.
I was born in darkness, and that's what
exactly.
you know.
Exactly. So you know. Literally just fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, saying that most people who come from immigrant families or immigrant backgrounds, their work ethic is on another level.
Exactly.
Because I'm not saying the Western world is a bit soft, but I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the things are in place for people to be okay.
Yeah.
Versus swimming or baptism through fire, where you're just having to just, like, learn things on the fly. And obviously, culture differences as well. You have to adapt. You have to kind of think about who you are, but your surroundings and how you can sort of fit in. And there's this whole problem-solving aspect that, you know, I would assume we all kind of go through if you come from that background.
I actually never thought about it as problem solving. That's actually, I'm going to steal that.
Yeah.
That's a really good one, problem solving aspect. Because I usually just think of it like we just, more difficult life.
Yeah.
Going to be way more productive. Like you're going to have way more stronger. Like I can take a lot more emotionally than most of my friends who have grown up here.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've been through some stuff. So you know, you've been to a public school. In any, okay, I can't speak for Uganda and Nigeria because I don't know a few Nigerians.
Yeah, I'm Nigerian.
And Kenya as well. I know you've been to a public school, any of those countries, you definitely, your emotions, you get hardened. You get a bit, a lot more emotional strong.
Yeah,
You get emotional muscles, let's say.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so with that, like you said, it's kind of built your foundation in terms of, you know, what you're doing now. When you said you were working in visual effects, what made you then decide to sort of work more freelancing way or even an entrepreneurship way with Kigali,
That's another one. Because, okay, my dream job was to work in a VFX company at that point. And I was thinking if, because I had, that's around second year of uni, I had rumors that they may be making a Lion King, right? That's my favorite childhood film. So I pretty much, I think third year, I almost dedicated my whole third year. Like, if you look at my showreel, everything looks like what the company was working on Lion King going to do. That was MPC. So, and I gambled, that's the second gamble. Remember the first gamble was, everything's going to go tech and 3D and so on.
Yeah.
That was the first gamble, so I was like, I may jump there. There's going to be jobs in the future. Second gamble was third year of uni, because I could definitely get a first. But I was like, I'm going to sacrifice some things, right? Like that, because we had a dissertation and a big project, right?
Yeah.
Dissertation wasn't really going to do much for me with the job. The research was going to do much, because I loved the research. But the putting together, I really did not care.
Yeah.
My goal was just, as long as I'm to pass that one, that's fine. Then everything else, I get really high grades.
Yeah.
Right? And I did that. So I ended up getting an upper second. But no one has asked me about my grades ever, so nobody knows.
No one really knows. It's really
exactly, right? So, But that upper second managed to get me the dream job, right? So I applied to MPC. That's the only company I applied to. Right? So at that point, they accepted me. I remember I got the phone call. The phone call to the interview actually came the same day as the job which I told you about, where they were like, come in and knock for us for a little bit.
All right.
The phone interview came in the afternoon of that day.
That's insane.
I lost my mind.
That's
insane. Like, because imagine that. Because that day had three things. Because first, I got one of the grades. That's for the big project. And I got a high grade. Like I got 89, and most people to get about 85, to get above 85 in any of our things is almost impossible, right?
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, I think only like 3-4 people in 80 out of 100 people.
Wow.
So I'm freaking out in the morning. Yeah. Then I get the job, ask me to come work for them, right? That's the name is Electric Theatre. Mm. That's about 1 p.m. That's when I see the email.
Mm.
Then I get an email asking me when I'm ready for an interview coming from Thingy, right? Coming from MPC. I lose my mind completely. Now, obviously, I told the Electric Theatre people that MPC is going to interview me.
Mm.
So when I went to that job, they already knew I was going to leave early.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, okay, just coming for now. But it was, that day was, it was a hell of a day.
But do you feel like everything was kind of lined up in the way that you wanted it to be? I mean, you had your vision there and you knew that, okay, this is the big production I want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Okay, what the technologies you want to be involved with, you assess the market and it just fell into place. Do you think the laws of attraction worked in your favor, or do you think like it's just
maybe because it definitely is an element of luck there, because if I didn't come, if I did not walk past that stall, there is no way I would have been on this path. I would have probably been an architect, right? But walk past that stall, got over there. That's like the first one. The second one was more like them working on Lion King. I don't know if I would have made that big of a gamble if it wasn't for me to go and try and work in Lion King.
Mm.
Right? I got the job and all that. I worked on Lion King as well. That made me, that's one of the happiest of my life. Then you said, but I left that to join entrepreneurship. But more after I worked on a few other films.
Mm.
And it's one of the things that it's like, that's the big goal of my life. How people are like, I want to get to $1 billion. I want to make $1 billion. My own was like, I had about that. I was like, I want to work on Lion King. First of all, I was just working VFX. When I arrived in office, I did not even believe I was there.
Mm.
Like, I walked in, I thought it was a prank or something. Like, in my head, it wasn't
real yet. It didn't register,
exactly, right? So I walked in, I got the ID card, I was like, still not yet. They could kick me out still, right?
Yeah.
Until I logged in, and I started working on a character, that's when I was like, okay, this is for real now. But I remember going all the way back home, and I couldn't stop smiling.
Mm.
Like, the whole way, like, I was just smiling. I smelled so much, I think my cheeks were hurting. And I just couldn't stop. It was just amazing. That was literally, like, my dream. Then to move to that, to Kogali, was more like, okay, I've ticked this box. I've got here. I'm doing well here. But can I go even higher now? Because that's, like, one dream, right? And that there's a weird thing. People don't tell you. But I think athletes have this as well, right? Like, after your goal is to maybe beat Usain Bolt in 100 meters.
Yeah.
After you do that, now what?
Mm, exactly. There's always a now what.
Exactly. So now, you're like, because I got there, I have it. Mm. After a while, you're still having fun.
Yeah.
Right? But it becomes a job,
mm.
right? But you're still having fun. It's not like a boring job. It's like a fun job.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like the job of your dreams, right?
Mm.
Obviously, when I think about it, every time, even still right now, every time I think about it, it makes me happy inside.
Yeah.
Right? But it becomes a bit normal. Then I was like, you know what, let me just try and go for something else.
Yeah.
And that's when the idea came, okay, let me try and find... First, I was looking for African stories around. I was like, I want to do a company. I want to do something for Africa, right?
Yeah.
Kind of connected to Lion King as well. Then I was like, you know what, let me see. Because first, I was thinking of doing my own company.
Mm.
But I realized that if you try and... It's better to work together than to work separately. Because one thing I'd realize when I look at most companies... is that they could definitely have survived and done better, like small companies, either to partner up with somebody else. But they all wanted to be the CEO, the main person in the company.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, most of them would drop down. So I was like, you know what, let me first look around to see if somebody's going the direction I'm going and join on that boat, other than me starting from scratch, because I may be doing something exactly what someone else is doing.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the point? Now, both of us are doing it with less power. If we join powers, it's a bit greater, right?
Mm-hmm.
Came across a few companies. That's when I came across Kogali.
Mm.
By then, it was just a blog.
Mm.
And they were still having discussions about doing the first comic book by then, right?
Yeah.
So I jump in over there. I'm like, okay, cool. I can't go in the discussion. Long. You know discussion.
Right? They talk forever, right?
So we kept on talking over there. And then we kind of figured out. But my main thing was, okay, let's try and add a 3D side to this.
Mm.
Plus also, I had connections in industry and so on. So I had a few high-level people, right?
Mm.
Those ones, connections didn't really pan out that much because high-level people, high-level money, we are starter.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up, right? I can do this because if it was me, myself as well, if it was me in Kogali and Kogali wanted to hire me to pay me, probably wouldn't have worked, right? But because when you reach a certain point, you're like, oh, I don't want to work with that. But it's myself, I could do that.
Exactly.
So jumped in there. We started working on that. First comic book came out, the tester one, issue 0. I think you've seen it.
You have seen it, yeah.
Yeah, that came out. We had good reception. It was black and white. I was worried because I'm not that big of a comic book person.
Yeah.
So I only looked at Ziki is more of a big comic
book. Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's like, he knows it. Him and Tolu, they're like, that's their life.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? My one, it's more the stories. I just like good stories, right?
Yeah.
But I would never really read comic books. I think I only read like 2 different comic books when I was young.
Mm.
Then I read a few and as an adult, just to kind of get people like, this is really cool, you should read it.
Yeah.
But I'm not like comic book reader. I do love films though.
Yeah.
I love films that are out of reality.
Mm.
So like, even if it's the Avenger Marvel films, the X-Men films.
Escapism.
Even, right? Exactly. Even Fast and Furious.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Just it's definitely not real.
It's not real, but yeah. You feel like you're there and you're present, and sometimes you just need a simple story to just get you to the emotional side of things.
Exactly. Yeah. I like the craziness of it. Mm. I really like that. So like, give an example. Let's say Venom.
Yeah.
It was so crazy. Absolutely loved it. The story is so stupid.
But I haven't seen it yet.
It's so much fun. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so much fun. You feel so happy when you watch it.
Okay,
right?
All right.
So I really like stuff like that. Yeah. So all my favorite films, all of them have the aspect of they're not real.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they have aspects from obviously it has to be connected to the real world, but the world they build is not the world we're inside.
Mm. Like the seriousness of it isn't too serious.
Exactly.
It's not too grounded where. Because with visual effects, I'm sure you want to push those limits. So when you're working in those sort of environments, do you watch a film saying, I wonder what they can do if they end up doing a big stunt?
First of all, with VFX, yes.
Yeah.
When I watch a film, I don't really think much. Unless the CG sticks out, then I'll be like, that one's a bit bad. Especially older films, when I say working in films properly, after like 6 months. I could easily spot something that wasn't done perfectly.
Yeah.
And it kind of ruined some old films for me. Some of them hold up though, fun enough.
Yeah.
But some of them you're like, oh, that shadow doesn't look right.
Yeah.
It's like that shadow, they don't match. Like something like that. Someone else will not pick it up, but automatically your eyes are drawn over there.
Mm.
So it's just, that's more my side of, I lose topic a lot.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed yet.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to flow over. We'll find ourselves.
And I love talking about films. I can do a film podcast one day and just talk about all the films I enjoy watching.
Mm-hmm.
And they're similar to yours as well. Not watch the Venom one, but I'm definitely going to spare some time and find it.
Watch it. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. That's just a random example, but lots of them are lots of fun. Marvel movies, that's why I like them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're quite fun.
They're quite fun, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main
reason. I hate when people try and... No, actually, do you know what? I do like a breakdown of a movie, and I've been watching a lot of videos about breaking down the Marvel Universe and those characters and what they mean and just the storytelling of it, because I love storytelling myself and seeing how characters can be put in one situation and then evolving over time. And I'm sure with Kugali, are you trying to do that as well with your characters in terms of evolving?
Yes, because I think that's one of the big joys of a character. If your character does not evolve, story feels a bit stale.
Yeah.
So most of the characters we have, most of them evolve.
Mm.
At least all the ones. I haven't read one story in issue 2 yet.
Mm.
I'm gonna read that. I was planning to read that on the flight back from. I read a Comic Con last week.
Oh yeah, you said so. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was tired.
You need to sleep. You need You worked too hard.
But I haven't read it yet, so I'm gonna read that one of the stories in issue 2. I haven't read it yet, but all the stories so far we have there, even the story I'm creating in the augmented reality side, I make sure the character grows.
Because
that's something like, it's like Breaking Bad does really well. When
it
you see
does Walter, so right? well.
You see in the beginning, you see at the end, you're like, oh, this feels so good.
Did you binge watch Breaking Bad or did you watch it?
Binge watched it.
Yeah, I binge watched it. And I told my mom and dad, sit down with me and we watched it together. And then we did that. And then I recommended my brother to watch it. And it was just like, so the whole family just knows everything about it. And we had to binge watch it. And you're right, it takes maybe a month or whatever, but just seeing that character progression. From even his facial features, his hair, just the little details. And then before you know it, he's just this complete other person that's so far removed from what he was to begin with.
It's like, it just makes the story really special. Especially when you just go back and see episode and you're like, oh, damn. Wow.
Yeah.
It just makes it really special. To me, anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely. So now we're talking about, films and we're talking about comics and stuff, but in terms of what's the next step, we've got augmented reality. So you've been heavily working on that side of things. Do you want to talk about some of the things you've been working on?
Yeah, at the moment, what we're working on, 2 products. There are going to be 3, but I try to... You want to be smart with how you do stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a startup. Because your time is one of the biggest resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, like, one of the... product is going to be the events app, which you tried when you came to the event.
Yeah, I remember,
So it's going to be that one, that's one product. That one is set. That one, we know we're going to go with that one because we know it works, we know the reactions are the way we want them to be.
Yeah.
It works really well. Second product is we're working on a children's kind of book, like storybook for African stories, right?
Yeah.
Not, let's say PG, so anybody can watch, anybody can go through it, anybody can watch the AR, but kids, it's mainly made for kids, right? Yeah. Kids, it's made with kids in mind, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason we went with AR is mainly two things, right? Because A, one, we noticed that African stuff usually joins the party late.
Yeah.
If you think about it, right?
Yeah, you're
in a lot of things, like the world does this, then Africa joins in after, right? Yeah. Like right now, animation studios are starting to kind of pop up right now in Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Disney had an animation studio how long ago?
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like a new thing right now. Mm. I wanted to break that trend. I wanted to do something, first of all, something new, plus as well, you like creating. And this literally like almost the recognition of your creature to the world and you can actually interact with him in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what more do you want, right?
Exactly.
It's like, that's like heaven for me, right? So we decided that two reasons. One, the interactivity you get.
Yeah.
So that's one thing we're heavily going to put in the app, right? Because we want kids to be able to move around. We just don't want them to sit down and just watch it and just... We want it to be a bit more interactive. So the character requires you to walk this way. Character requires you to like jump back or something like that.
Yeah.
And all of that, there's that connection between you and the character simultaneously.
Yeah.
So that's the story bit of it. And obviously it'd be African stories.
Mm.
And imagine now stories, because most people wouldn't even expect this. Now imagine an African story. Imagine the possibility of the first big AR story to work, right? And it's all over the world, is an African one. How awesome would that be?
That would be groundbreaking.
That would be so good.
Yeah, right? Absolutely, yeah.
So that's one of the things that kind of the motivator, like, okay, let's make this, instead of making just a normal other animation, which most people have seen,
yeah,
right, which everybody's trying to do right now,
let's
take it the next step, let's be there, like, what's the saying? When the sun is rising, let's be the first ones to see the sun come up.
Yeah.
Like, let's not just stay with the other people over there sleeping. Let's just go right at the front.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one of the big things we wanted to do, just kind of like, just show that we are going forward. We're not just being like everybody else.
Mm.
It has to be different. It has to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the second product, the AR product.
Yeah, with what you just said, because I'm going to touch on the events thing, but also just this point now, it's, like you said, there's always been this narrative where Africa is always following the trend of what Western society is doing, or even what Japan is doing or China is doing. Whatever the innovative countries are doing, we'll last to see it, we'll get the crumbs of it. But for you to say, you know what, we have the technology, we have the ambitions, we have the storytelling already, we can do this first, or we can do it better.
Yeah.
You're pushing that narrative away from what it used to be to where it is now, and you are kind of breaking ground. And I think this all comes down to, like we said, the internet. You know, I'm hosting a podcast on a platform which I shouldn't be using, you know, 10 years ago, because, you know, the accessibility wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the barriers of entry have kind of been removed.
Exactly.
And so now we can all create our own stories, we can all tell our own stories, and you can do it better than these big organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny now, some of these organizations are looking at the smaller ones and going, oh, like, they're doing things quite innovatively, and now that I kind of want their understanding of what they're moving towards. Because I think the same stories have been told, that it's been saturated. Do you feel that's kind of where we are right now with the market?
I think so. I think not enough people are doing it, obviously, but in general, not enough people are going to be doing AR storytelling, right?
Yeah.
Because there's more, for example, lucrative things you could do in AR.
Mm.
Right? One of them would be, if you go AR in education, that's a big one,
yeah,
right? But we know people doing that, right? And let's say, that's one thing we may do, but it's definitely our priority.
Mm.
We only do it if we see the people who are doing it are not going to be doing it well enough.
Yeah.
But AR African stories, I haven't seen much. I've seen AR stories, I've seen one, but it's well made, but I really don't think they did, not to be disrespectful, I really don't think they did enough research into, for example, how AR and human beings work, right?
Yeah.
So that connection over there.
Mm.
An example I'd give is, for example, because I've really researched this, I really wanted to get it, right?
Mm.
So an example I give is, for example, in this company, they have the interaction, which it looks good on video.
Yeah.
Where, let's say, the person is interacting with a character, but they're using their hands in the real world.
Mm.
And that's the main, kind of one of the main ways of interacting.
Mm.
That looks cool on video, right? Because you then see them touching the object like that. It looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah, you feel that. It looks like a video.
But in real life, if you're consuming a story, you probably don't want to be doing this. That's going to get annoying, it's going to get disturbing, that's one thing. Plus, if a story is too long, there's only so long you can have your hand above your waist.
Even the attention span sometimes as well.
Exactly, right? So now, for example, I know the only interaction which will have your hand come inside the screen will be only when it needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, for example, if there's no other choice but it needs to be there. Because you already have controls on the actual screen of the phone, right? So if you're going to touch something, you could just tap, hold, and move it around.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that works exactly, and it's almost like you have a free controller here.
Yeah.
Right. Other than because this, if you're doing this, you're moving an object like that.
Yeah.
That's much better than this.
Yeah, better than grabbing. Definitely, you want to touch.
You see that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, here there's a bit of tactile, so when you tap on the screen, you're holding it. You release the screen in your left ear. This one's like there's no tactile feedback on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's like one small example,
but
it's more. But literally, the goal is if you could be the best, if you could do it best. I'll be happy. That's the goal. Yeah. I don't want to do it second best. I don't care who else is doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to do it best.
You have to do it better. Yeah. I mean, again, you've touched on, obviously, being pioneers, but being the best. And, you know, this is a new space. Obviously, I say new, people have already kind of put their feet into the water. But, you know, such that it's a new technology, what do you think the consumer base is ready for it? Do you think they understand what it is, or do you think you're going to be the first to tell them how to use it? How do you gauge that market?
If you design the app well enough, people will know how to use it.
Mm.
All right. So, okay, let's say AR itself is not new.
Yeah.
The only thing that's new is the fact that phones got powerful enough to run decent AR.
Mm.
And almost everybody in the world has a phone. So almost everybody in the world has an AR device.
So we got the accessibility part. Mm-hmm. So everyone's got a mobile device. You can kind of put the app there. Promoting it is what you would probably have to work on for that to exist. But then, in terms of society's viewpoint on it, because I think we touched on this last weekend.
Yeah.
There's this whole sci-fi element where we're like, okay, what is reality? Like, we've got augmented reality, but we've got our own reality, and we kind of are working towards merging the two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see them? How's your vision of it? Do you see it being just as simple as what you said with the education element and the storytelling with just, you know, picking characters up and down and, you know, being part of that story? Or do you think it can be a lot bigger, and do you think Kigali would be, you know, in that cutting edge as well?
See, that's a good question right there.
Yeah.
I'll say two things. A, it's definitely going to get a lot bigger. It's going to be, okay, get to a point where if you don't have AR glasses, you're equivalent to somebody who doesn't have a phone today.
Mm.
Right? It's like, what's up with this guy? Because if you think about the advantages, and you think about what people really go for, it's, even if we don't like it, it's like driverless cars.
Mm.
Even if you don't like it, you think about driver's jobs, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Like, it's just gonna, it's like, it's gonna grind. It's like, if somebody puts a cookie next to you and you're dead and you see it every single day, there's gonna come a day you're gonna eat that cookie.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of situation. It's gonna happen, and it's definitely gonna take over the whole, like, the whole world will be augmented at some point.
Yeah.
That's one thing I think is going to happen, right?
Mm.
So, with us to get, obviously, if the whole world is augmented, we'll take a slight corner of that because it's already happened. For example, social media, people, like, it's too much of people's lives, but it's already happened. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm not going to be on social media, so people have less things to look at.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still going to look at a lot of things. They might as well look at good things.
Mm.
But as starting, one thing you'll notice with, like, the phone era, the advantage it has is you can just put it down, right? Yeah. So, for example, you go into AR. Okay, I'm going to go into AR. You choose when you go in.
Mm-hmm.
You choose when you come out. It's not like the AR will never kind of throw you in there. Mm. As suppose, let's say, if you have AR glasses and maybe an AR notification just pops up out of the blue.
The
AR pulled you there. But with the phone, it's there. When you want AR, you go to the phone to do the AR bit of it.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's one thing I really liked about it, that bit of control. Plus, what is reality and what's not? I think we're talking about how kids will see reality.
You need
to grow up with this. That's another advantage with the phone one. Even that's the reason I've greened the events one and I haven't greened the children's one yet.
Because
I had to think about, let's say, the impact on kids. Because at first I thought maybe it would just be like just normal, right? Be like, okay, same as them watching a video and then they're going to get used to it and then they're going to go with this. But if this is attached to real world objects, they may end up building some expectations to the real world objects. Now, obviously, I would think kids would kind of grow out of it.
Yeah.
But if you notice, some people don't really grow out of some things which are like, really, you're still doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a danger of for that one, for those few people, because it's not just one thing, for those people who don't grow out of things, they'll kind of encounter a situation where if it was in AR, it will be go this way. If it's in real life, it will go this way.
Yeah, that element of control, right?
Yeah. Right. So now they come over here and they, let's say they have glasses, right? And let's say every time they see a car, they could do like hand gesture and then toss it behind their backs. If the person crosses the street, at some point, some of the people will try and do that to real cars. Because you cannot see the difference, right? Like, it looks exactly like a real car.
Yeah.
If you grew up doing that to real cars, when you encounter a real thing like that, even if it's not a car, if it's like a snake or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? And you haven't been educated to that, there's a possibility of that. Obviously, there'll be a very small number of people, but there's still people. You still have to think about that. So that's more on that side. But with the phone era bit, it's a lot safer. Also, with the events app, where it's green lit, is because it's just... It's perfect, right? Because you only use it in the event, with tracking objects in the event, right? Everything you need is in the event or in the app. You don't need to even be online, right? So you're getting exactly what you bargained for in the place. It's over there. When you leave the event, you don't need it anymore.
So when you say the event part, are you saying, okay, so you have an actual event, and with augmented reality, there'll be things around you that you can play around, control, and then interact with. And then obviously when the event's over, it's left in that place.
Yes.
Versus... what you're saying with the books, the stories, and so forth. You take that with you because you own that?
Yeah, books and stories is home. That one, it's more... as well, events, I don't think many people are going to be carrying their kids to events.
Yeah, exactly.
To that many events. There'll be a few, but not that many. But the books is almost like a daily thing with the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, it kind of... it enforces it a lot more hard. A lot harder.
Yeah, exactly.
It enforces it a lot harder. And it just... it's one thing we have to think about.
Yeah, completely, yeah. But I mean... there's always an excuse for everything, right? With video games, it was like, oh, it's going to create problems in schools and with, you know, programming that's a bit violent or a bit, you know, sexual orientated. They'd be like, okay, it's going to affect our children's minds. And the internet, of course, it's a whole playground of stuff. I mean, they always say this needs to be out of remote control. So with everything that we kind of push towards, there's always something, right, to worry about.
See, the difference between this and that one is, for example, with video games, with shooting games, for example, with video games, we thought they increase violence, but actually, you look at the studies, they don't.
Yeah.
But with AR, we know it does. Okay, we don't know about violence, but we know people who have gone in VR, for example, and played shooting games and got PTSD.
That's crazy.
Because it's like, you actually, it's not like you think you're doing it, your brain recognizes you as you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, there's some experiences running VR where they tell people to jump off a cliff and they freeze. They know they're in the real world.
Yeah.
They just have glasses on, but they freeze to jump.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you actually really, your brain knows you're really there.
Mm.
So the impact of that is much different from when you watch a film or when you play a game, because you know it's not really you there.
Yeah.
Your brain can kind of recognize that.
When you say, because I've also used the PlayStation VR set, and I was just playing, it was a video game, but I think it was more of a, like a sci-fi shooter, like driver car or something, but you know, like shooting tanks and stuff.
That
is awesome. But I was like, you move around, you move your head, and you're literally like, you can move everything. And for that moment, you felt like you're in that world, but it felt too real. So when I took it off, I was like, oh, this is the real world. And players back in, it's like, what the hell's going on? I mean, you have to try it to really understand. But with that, do you think virtual reality will be the first thing, or do you think augmented reality will be the first thing to sort of blow up?
Thanks to phones, definitely AR.
Yeah.
And at the moment, because Google released the AR kit, and AR Core, sorry, and Apple released AR kit.
Yeah.
And those made making AR applications a lot easier, because now it's in the SDK, right? So you don't have to pull other things. So definitely AR is going to be useful before VR. First of all, because there's a hierarchy of when people are willing to be inconvenienced, right? And let's say, if it's saving their life, they'll definitely take the inconvenience. That's like top of hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
Games are almost at the bottom, right? Usefulness is somewhere in the middle there.
Mm.
So, an AR, there are very useful situations for AR right now, which you can do. A few of them, there's something like, the IKEA app has an AR app right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Where you can place the objects you're about to buy. You can test them and put them in the room, right?
I'll make sure to check that out.
Check that out. Like, actually, it's quite fun. You place them there, you can see them in the room.
Yeah.
Only problem with AR is if you're using phones, the battery, that thing will suck your battery. Right? Because they're being... remember in the event I was doing tracked AR
on our
paper? That sucks less battery because there's less processing power. But them, they're using it on the real world.
Yeah.
So the phone has to figure out... okay, the phone has to do some machine vision to to figure out where it's putting it and the perspective and everything, right? So it has to find a ground plane.
Yeah.
But in a tracked paper, it already knows where that plane is. Mm. So less power. So it will suck your battery, but it's quite fun.
Yeah.
There are also a few apps popping here and there in AR. There's one I really like, which I used actually when I was setting up the event. It's a measuring app.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does, you just carry your phone, you press a point, it creates a point in that corner. You move your phone, get a point in that corner. It gives you the exact distance. And you can do that all over the house and also raise the roof and add the door in and everything.
That's insane.
And you can have a 3D model of the actual room. It's not perfectly accurate, but it's really, really close.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I used it as well. I was like, oh, this is dope. So if you're kind of planning a house, something like that, you can... How quick is it to make?
What's it called again?
I'll get the name. Something Measure.
Okay.
I'll show it to you.
Right, show it to me because that would be very interesting. Just in terms of what can be done without having to physically do it, that's kind of what you're mentioning as well.
Exactly. So if you're going to measure like that picture frame there, originally you'd have to go get a tape measure or something.
Yeah,
like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Remember in the event I was mentioning something about the love objects we have in the real world,
mm.
which you don't really need to be real.
Yeah.
Like today, how people actually have watches. Unless it's fashion sense. People don't use... I use my watch,
mm.
but I still check my phone.
Think your phone is more reliable.
Exactly, right? So especially when you change time zones,
yeah.
you don't really need a watch because you've got your phone. You don't need a, let's say... What else don't you need? To check the wind speed,
mm.
you can just check the temp. You can just check on your phone to your new area.
You can actually
have that. They have that over there. Now with measuring, you don't need measuring tools. You don't need a tape measure anymore, I think, for objects, especially smaller objects like a picture.
Mm.
Are you trying to get the distance?
Yeah.
With that app, you measure it and you get it accurate.
Mm, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I just had this sci-fi vision of maybe in the future where you have glasses. You say you live in a house, right? Mm-hmm. But all you have is your bed, your fridge, your chair.
The things you need.
Yeah, just the things, your basic necessities, right? I'm just living like a minimalist. But then as you put the glasses, you got your decoration of everything.
Yeah, you can do it like that. But I don't know if people would want to have to put on glasses to get the decorations. For things like the TV, that one is one example I like to use because let's say you get a TV 2 years later, outdated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if the TV was just an app.
Mm-hmm. That's
just
true.
Like £1 app. You put it up on your wall, you make it as big as you want, and you can see it in the same quality as one, and you cannot tell the difference between the two. Or even they manage to make that one better than the other one.
Yeah, and you can all watch different things without having to fight over what you're watching.
Yeah, you can do that. Or you can even just, you can sync it so you're all watching the same thing. Mm-hmm. You have like, TV up. Are you watching the TV? I'm watching the TV. Let's watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
But instead of having the glasses, they had, this was different actually. They were,
the memory thing.
Memory thing, yeah. So they could replay memories. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good episode. That was a really good episode.
That one, I don't know how people would trust that. No.
Yeah, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but that was one trippy episode. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the future's bright. I'm sure there's so many things that can be touched on. And in terms of building the story and this narrative that Kigali's doing, I think this is a good place to be in. And I'm really excited to see more about it and obviously play around with it a bit more. Because on Saturday, we had the taste of what's available. But mm-hmm. I'm sure as time goes on, there's so many things that you're going to play around with and grow from it. So...
Yeah,
it's exciting stuff. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. In terms of if there was any last advice you would want to give someone who's probably interested in augmented reality or creating new things, what advice would you give them?
Because I have a hierarchy which I usually have like about three kind of quotes.
Yeah.
Which I keep and they keep on shifting. Right. In total, I have about I think right now they have come to about 50 quotes. Right.
All right.
But I kind of swap the top three which I kind of play in my mind. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think which one to pick for that. Advice, because I don't think it should just be for air. I'll do it for general life.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
So I'll go with that. Be the best.
Hmm.
Try and be the best, because most people, let's say this, they'd be like, oh, that person is racist. That's why I'm here. Blah 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 blah. It's because I'm a woman. It's because I don't know. I'm fat. It's because I'm tall. It's because I'm short. It's because I'm thin.
Yeah.
Everybody has those reasons, but if you're the best. I'm pretty sure no one cares about... For example, if you turn up right now
mm-hmm.
and you tell me I can make you a billion, let's say I'm a white supremacist, I'm racist as hell,
mm.
and you're a black guy and you tell me you can make me a billion,
mm.
I'm still going to hire you. Because most people love themselves more than they hate other people.
It's true.
Yeah, so it's just... So if you're the best and you can really bring value...
Because
if you... The problem comes when you're average. Because then you're easily interchangeable. But if you're the best, if you really bring a low value, not just average value, world is your oyster. You just go for it.
That's the truest point, actually. It's so true. Because I think self-worth is obviously one thing, but knowing your value is another, you know? Mm-hmm. Believing in yourself, like, okay, I'm good enough to do this, or I want to strive to be better, but proving it to other people. And sometimes people say, okay, you are boxed in this. But then if you're good, you'll always find a way to get people to notice your self-worth or to know, you know, what your real value is.
Yeah.
So do you believe in, like, in the market saying, okay, if you're good, you're good. If you're not, you're not. Do you think it's fair in terms of what you put in is what you get out?
Oh, the other variables, but that's the one that literally, because the other variables you can't control. The one you can definitely control. That's the one in your hand.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Like everything else, probably, let's say, bad luck, you broke your leg or something, that you can't control that, but you can still be your best.
Yeah, sure. Right? Yeah.
Bad luck, let's say, what else? Kim Jong-un sends a nuke, right? All of us living as cave people.
Yeah.
But you become the best person at building caves.
Mm, that's it.
Bad luck, but you're still going to do well. So literally, as long as you're exceptional, and it's not, okay, don't be, okay, you can be exceptional at something, or I don't know, call it stupid, but something not that useful, but if what you're good at, people need.
That's it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, there's no other way you're not going to do well. It's just you. If you don't do well, somebody put a curse on you, you should go and pray hard. Right? It's just, if you're really good at something,
yeah.
and people need that thing,
it's true.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes we overcomplicate it and say, you know, we're in a saturated market, how do I show up? Sometimes it's just knowing what people really want and working on it. And if you've got that skill naturally or through, you know, years of development, like you said, to build that foundation to go for it, then that's your way out, or that's your way to sort of do the things you care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my quotes. That's one. That's the one I stuck there for about the longest.
Yeah.
It's that one. And then there's one I keep in mind. After MPC, I started keeping this one in mind a lot more.
Okay.
It's like, what's left for you when you get to the top but lightning?
Interesting.
Because a lot of people strive to be the best, to be at the top, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if that's all that's good for you, if that's the whole goal, if you don't, like, you're doing something you hate because you want this much money, what happens when you get that much money?
That's it. Right? Yeah, there's a penny drop scenario.
So it's both sides, right? You have to balance it out. So you gotta realize, okay, because me personally, I want to be the best because then they give me the best options, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to be the best. Some people just want to be the best because of their ego.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, I'm going to be good at this. So, for example, even the things I'm the best at, I know they're going to push like this. Something which I like to do for fun, obviously do that. Be the best on that as well if you want, right?
Mm.
But it doesn't really matter that much. The ones that really matter are the ones that add value to other people's lives. Because there, as long as you get the best, you're going to be adding value.
Yeah.
Other than if you're becoming, let's say, the best just for your ego, you're not going to add that much value, and you get there and it's quite empty because you're not really adding that much value.
Yeah.
So those two, like, good way to balance them out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So try and be the best because you have everything, but keep in mind that you get to the best, like, what's left there but falling down.
Yeah.
Like, at the moment you're the best, there's no other way to go but down.
Down, yeah.
Yeah, you can stay up there as long as you want, but you're going to come down. Someone is going to bring you down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's to keep those two in mind. Keep you in... Raise your ego and also not make you become a psychopath. Like, a green check.
That's a nice way to end the podcast.
Yeah.
Keep a balanced viewpoint on what you are, who you are, why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're almost touching on Maslow's hierarchy of needs in terms of what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people obviously focus too much on one area and not really focus on self-fulfillment and what it can add to others. But, you know, we all reach different levels in life, and it's good to know, you know, whatever level you are, be your best.
Exactly.
Work hard. Follow your passions. Follow the things that matter to you. Create change, be a disruptor.
Yeah.
And you never know what might happen. You might be changing the world someday.
Yeah, never know.
All right, there we go. That's a nice way to end it. So,
nice
one. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Thank you to my special guest.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
No, this is a great conversation. So we have to do this again. Maybe we'll get the other guy.
Yeah.
So I'll overlord.
Yeah.
we'll get more people on this. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and take care. Hey, podcast listeners, thanks for listening, and thanks for my special guest, and thanks for clicking the play button. But I need you to do four things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe, and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever, so I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those four things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.